Thank you all for showing up this early morning. And my name is Sungbin Lee from UC Santa Barbara. And I especially thank organizers for a very kind invitation to Parameter. So today I'm going to talk about the theory of spin leak pairs and integer spin power curves. Please feel free to ask any questions during my talk. So before starting off my talk, let me introduce my collaborators, Lucille Savary from UCSB as well, and Shigeki Onoda and Rick Ken, and my advisor Leon Balance in KITP. So here's the outline of my talk. First of all, I will briefly discuss what's the motivation why people study a quantum spin leak is, and especially among many materials, we focus on the rare earth particles. So I will describe some characteristics of rare earth particles. And then I will introduce the pseudo spin 1/2 model, which will describe the ground state for the rare earth particles. And then in classical limit, it turns out the spin ice is the ground state. So I will focus on what's the characteristic of this spin ice ground state. And the main interest of this talk is how the quantum fluctuation affect to this spin ice ground state and looking for any Yuon quantum spin liquid and other magnetic orderings. And finally, I will show the phase diagram using gauge mean field theory, and I will discuss the future work at last. So let's start by looking at what is quantum spin liquids. So quantum spin liquids has interacting local moments, but it does not develop any magnetic ordering at zero temperature because of quantum fluctuations. And it has long-range entanglement. And one example of this quantum spin liquid is this resonating valence bond. And as you see in this picture, this is all the possible configurations of singlet spin pairs. So this bond is represent the singlets. So this is we call the resonating valence bond. So why this is interesting? So the quantum spin liquid is known as emergent gauge structure pairs, which and it supports the exotic excitations with fractional quantum numbers. So if we go back to this resonating valence bond state, then once we try to focus on the excitation, then it's nothing but just cutting the one spin singlet, and it creates this spinon, which carries spin 1/2. So then the question is this interesting quantum spin liquids, and where do we look for these quantum spin liquids? And the answer for this question is looking for frustrating magnets. So it turns out this quantum spin liquids has very strong relation with frustration. So what is frustration? The frustration is induced by competing interactions, which cannot be simultaneously minimized. So the frustration can be induced by many other reasons. And the one reason is this geometric frustration. And as you see in this picture, if you consider this anti-ferromagnetic triangular lattice, then we put spin up and down for this neighboring site. And then the system is frustrated in a sense that it's not happy either put spin up or down here. If this frustration can be induced by further neighbor interaction, so this is the lattice structure of diamond lattice. And once you only consider this anti-ferromagnetic nearest neighbor interaction, then since diamond lattice is bipartite, so then the spins are all happy if you put spin up for one sublattice and spin down for the other sublattice. But once we introduce this second nearest neighbor, then the system gets frustrated. So this frustration suppresses the conventional ordering, and quantum spin liquid can be realized when this magnetic ordering is suppressed all the way down to zero temperature. So among many quantum spin liquids material, why we focus on these particles? So the most candidates of quantum spin liquids suggested in two-dimensional lattice, such as Kagome and triangular, because in lower dimension, usually the quantum fluctuations are stronger. But it's always challenging to find materials. On the other hand, these rare earth particles, there are several materials and also actively studied in experiments. And recently, it is very popular known as these spin ice materials. From theoretical point of view, it's also the possible candidate to realize this quantum spin liquid due to geometric frustration, and suggested by Michael Homley et al. So how rare earth particles look like? So this is the lattice structure with chemical formula A2B2O7, as you see in this picture. And if you focus on A site, then it forms this particle lattice. This green sphere indicates this particle lattice, which is corner-sharing tetrahedron. And there's many possible A-side elements and B-side elements in this periodic table. This, especially if you focus on this A-side element, then most of the element colored in blue is the rare earth ions. So among many rare earth particle materials, I'm showing just very few the materials for rare earth titanate or praseodymium transition metal oxide, and showing the different ground state. So experimentally, it is known that holmium and dysprosium case, it forms the spinized ground state. On the other hand, for ytterbium and terbium case, people are suggesting this is possible spin liquid state. On the other hand, for erbium titanate case, it is ordered on XY plane. For praseodymium transition metal oxide, when transition metal is these ions, then people consider this as spinized. And also when praseodymium iridate case, people suggest this as the chiral spin liquid. So this is the lattice structure of this rare earth particles. So if we focus on this A site of rare earth particles, then this is the characteristic. So for example, this praseodymium and ytterbium case, we have electrons in F orbitals. So we have praseodymium case, we have two electrons in F orbital. And for ytterbium case, we have one hole in F orbital. And these F orbitals are well localized. On top of that, this is rare earth ions. So we have usually strong spin orbit coupling. So the total angular momentum J is a good quantum number. And in addition, if you consider these crystal fields, then among many states, it splits the state, and actually the ground state is well described by doublet, Cramer's or non-Cramer's doublet, depending on spin integer and half integer. So far we considered why we can focus on these rare earth particles and what's the characteristic of these rare earth particles, especially focusing on A-site. And now let me introduce the pseudo-spin one-half model, which describes this quantum spin, the ground state, doublet ground state for these rare earth particles. So this is the Hamiltonian. So we have this SCSC interaction. And also we have S plus minus interaction. But this S is, again, this is the good the total angular momentum J. So this is not the quantum conserved number. So for that reason, we allow to have this S plus term and also SCS plus term. So this is the symmetry allowed Hamiltonian, which describes that doublet ground state. But especially we focus on this integer spin for this case. And once we consider these integer spins, that actually only allows even powers of S plus and minus. So this is the nice picture to describe why it only allows even powers of S plus or minus. So if we consider JZ, so the total angular momentum has one 0 minus 1 state. And once we project to this effective spin, pseudo-spin 1/2 model, then to describe minus 1/2 state to 1/2 state, we always have to apply S plus square. So in that sense, if you go back to this Hamiltonian, then the last term has this odd power of S plus. So for integer spin, to describe integer spin rare earth particles, the last term is not allowed. Yes?
I'd just like to step back for a second and make sure I understand your example, your coordinate system. So are you taking the same z-axis for every spin, or is this one of these things where?
Yeah, so I'm going to explain it. It actually to the local z-axis.
In this Hamiltonian,
this is along local z-axis.
Right, and this little thing here where you have an effective spin half, that's because your transitions are actually between minus 1 and 1?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Okay.
Exactly. So we consider this Hamiltonian as CSC interaction, and also within nearest neighbor as plus minus. And again, as following the question, we always consider this local z-axis. So within local z-axis, in order to conserve this lattice rotation, when we have this s plus term, then we have this extra phase term, depending on the bond direction. So this different color indicates the different phase vector. So this is the Hamiltonian what we are going to study, and our goal of this talk is what is the phase diagram for this Hamiltonian. So it turns out if we only consider the nearest neighbor as CSC interaction, then we know it goes to the classical spin-ice ground state. So what is classical spin-ice ground state? So before turning on any quantum fluctuations, at the origin, we know this is the spin-ice ground state. So what's the characteristic of spin-ice in classical limit? So again, if we only consider this SC-SC interaction for the nearest neighbor, then we can rewrite the Hamiltonian in terms of the sum of SC for each tetrahedron. So then in order to minimize this Hamiltonian, then we allow to have this sum of SC for each tetrahedron to be zero. So the possible configuration is putting two in and two out state. So we call this state as two in, two out state in spin-ice. So why do we call this spin-ice? So if you go back to this water ice, then it actually has very similar structure when we consider this arrangement of hydrogen ions. So this is the oxygen. This orange sphere is oxygen ion. And this pink one is the hydrogen ion. And this hydrogen ion, two hydrogen ions, are very closer to the center oxygen. But the other two is further away. So if you consider these two closer to be pointing in, and to further the hydrogen ions to be pointing out, then this, if you compare this structure to this, then it's very similar. It's all the same. So in that sense, we call this water ice the spin ice because of this its resemblance structure with water ice. So because this is local constraint, two in, two out, you remember for each tetrahedra, the only constraint is we have to satisfy this two in, two out, then for even one tetrahedra, there's many possible configurations. So in that sense, it's highly degenerate. And especially for dysprosium titanate, which is the material known as spin-ice, if you consider this entropy by integrating the specific heat over temperature, then they see the clear following the water ice entropy, as you see here. So this two in, two out state is the ground state, and it's very similar to electrostatics with divergence of E is equal to zero. But if we consider this defect means flipping one of the spin for each tetrahedra, then now this configuration describes three in, one out, and this one is one in, three out. And this is, by creating this defect tetrahedra, it's similar to the creating spinons at the center of each tetrahedra. So if we go back to our Hamiltonian, if we consider this S plus minus term or S plus plus term, then by applying this S plus or S minus, then it's nothing but the flipping spins from the two in, two out ground state. So again, this is from two in, two out state, by flipping the spins, then it goes to the 3-in-1 out or 1-in-3 out state. So in that sense, in electrostatics, it's nothing but the spin on defect at the center of each tetrahedron. So the main interest of our talk is how quantum fluctuation affects to this classical limit of spin-ice ground state, and looking for any exotic phases such as quantum spin liquid and magnetic O-rings. So again, this is the table that I showed before, but if you consider among many possible the rare earth particles, only holmium and dysprosium in this table has this spin-ice ground state. In that sense, we can consider this as classical with dominant SCSC interaction. On the other hand, the other materials does not show this spin-ice ground state. So in that sense, we can consider all of these materials have strong quantum effects. So I'm showing some experimental data and which distinct from the different spin-ice ground state. So erbium titanate case, it is known as XY magnet. So from neutron scattering experiment, people know that at low enough temperature, it has some magnetic ordering on XY plane. The magnetic ordering on XY plane means, which means we have the G factor, but along X direction is much larger than Z direction. And this is done by Champion and Poe et al. So this is the ground state for this erbium titanate case. And for praseodymium iridate case, people suggest this as chiral spin liquid. The reason is, if you see this picture, this is showing the plots function of temperature versus magnetization and also the Hall conductivity. So this blue dots shows the magnetization, and in this intermediate temperature, we have non-magnetic, zero magnetization, but we have this non-zero Hall conductivity. So in that sense, people argue that it's spontaneously break time reverser symmetry, and people call this material as chiral spin liquid. But of course, at zero temperature, this has magnetic ordering. So the other one, ytterbium titanate, which recently very suggested the ground state could be the quantum spin liquid, is neutron scattering done by Kate Rose et al. So if you consider this plot shows with fixed temperature at 30 millikelvin, you change the magnetic field. And then as you see here, at large strong enough magnetic field, then you clearly see these spin waves, but in low field, we do not see any spin wave indication. So we only see this diffuse scattering. So this is an indication of spin on excitations. So people consider, because spin waves emerge at high magnetic field, but it disappears in a low field, the people consider this as the possible quantum spin liquid at a low field.
Can I just ask what we're actually looking at here? So I'm guessing color is scattering intensity.
Mm-hmm.
Then we've got energy on the vertical axis. And what have we got on the horizontal axis? HHH.
So this is the wave vector axis.
Okay.
Yes. And this shows that clearly there's high intensity, which excitation describes the excitation for the spin waves. And there's no this clear excitation, but just diffuse scattering. So going back to our table, which shows many different rare earth particles, so our question is, how can we understand these quantum effects? So now we are going to study the effect of this S plus minus term and S plus plus term in addition to this SCSC term. So what do we know already? So it's been studied by Michael Homley et al. Close, once we turn on this quantum fluctuation for J plus minus, then it's known as this quantum fluctuation melt the spin ice to form a quantum spin liquid. And it's also confirmed by the quantum Monte Carlo simulation by Bernalgi et al. So what's the property of this U1 quantum spin liquid? So we consider these spin fluctuations out of 2-in-2-out state. And it actually induced the ring exchange term, as you see here. And it's described by a U1 gauge theory. So again, if we start from this 2-in-2-out spinized ground state, by flipping the spins, you have this 3-in-1-out or 1-in-3-out state. So let's assume one configuration of spinized ground state. And now I'm going to act as plus, as minus to the neighboring site with colored in green. And then by acting this as plus, as minus on this link, then it flips the spin. And by continuing doing this on this bond, and at third order, it creates the ring exchange term going back to the spin ice, another configuration of spin ice ground state. So in U1 gauge theory, we can rewrite this Hamiltonian with electric field and magnetic field with emergent electrodynamics. So we can compare the excitations between the spin ice ground state and quantum spin liquid. So spin ice ground state without the ground state, without any quantum fluctuations, then as I mentioned before, it's emergent electrostatics with divergenceless electric field. Then the excitation is nothing but just flipping the spins, which corresponds to the gap spin-on. On the other hand, once we turn on this J plus minus, then we studied the quantum spin liquid is realized. So with quantum spin liquids, it has emergent compact quantum electrodynamics, and they have several excitations compared to spin ice, and it has gap spin-ons at gap monopoles, and we have also our gapless photons. And this picture is showing the spin-ons and monopoles and photons. But this is the argument by Michael Homley et al. This is the argument using the perturbation theory. So if we want to study the stronger quantum fluctuation effect, then this perturbation theory is not work at all, doesn't work at all. So we need better than perturbation theory. Once we study this along this axis. So now we introduce this U1 gauge theory, which is non-perturbative method. So our goal is using this U1 gauge theory with engaged mean field theory. Our goal is to show the phase diagram based on our Hamiltonian. So the U1 gauge theory, before we map our spin model to U1 gauge theory, let me define what's dual lattice of the paracurves. So if you connect, as you see in this figure, if you connect the center of each tetrahedra, then you find these blue lines form the diamond lattice. And then we consider both metal fields and gauge field, and these gauge fields live on its link, and spin-ons live on a diamond lattice site, which is the dual of paracurves. And if you all especially focus on these two tetrahedra, which Connor shared, and this spin as z or as plus minus at site I is defined like this. So as z at site I can be defined by the neighboring diamond lattice site, the electric field AB. And then S plus or S minus can be defined by spin-ons on neighboring side A and B with interacting with the gauge field, a vector potential. And then once we map this with this gauge field and the metal field, which is spin-ons, then the divergence of electric field is representing the gauge charge Q. And also the spin-ons are hopping around. So this plot shows night mapping when we starting from our pseudo-spin 1/2 model to this U1 gauge theory. So we have this SCSC nearest neighbor interaction. Again, we can rewrite this as the sum of this SC for each tetrahedra. And then if we map this the sum of each tetrahedra, the SC, then if we consider this 3-out-1-in configuration, then it's nothing but creating charge at the center of the tetrahedra on the diamond lattice side. So in that sense, we have electric charge on the diamond lattice side once we map the pseudo spin 1/2 model onto this U1 gauge theory. Yes.
So what happens to the emergent U1 gauge field in the original model? How is it mapped to this gauge theory?
So the mapping what we are considering is we map this SZ to this electric field and S plus to this, both defined with the spin-ons and the vector potential.
So the emergent U1 gauge field from before has nothing to do with this?
No. So this is the mapping for this SC-SC interaction. This maps to the gauge charge Q at here. And then if we consider S plus, S minus term, then this map to the spin-ons hopping in the background of fluctuating gauge field. So then we can start from only considering JZ term and J plus minus term. Then we can map this spin model onto this the U1 gauge theory. Then again, this SZ-SC term is nothing but the sum of SC for each tetrahedra, which will give this gauge charge square term. On the other hand, this S plus S minus term, as I mentioned before, this is the quadratic hopping term, the spin-on hopping term with interacting this gauge field. So starting from the spin-on here, this term is hopping the spin-ons from here to here with interacting this gauge field. So again, to see how the quantum spin liquid realized starting from the spin ice ground state within our U1 gauge theory, we can project this our U1 gauge theory to the spin ice ground state. So then at third order of degenerate perturbation theory, again, this shows the projection to the spin ice ground state. Then again, we have this gauge charge square term plus this ring exchange term, which is defined by cosine curl of A at third order. This should be square, sorry. And then we found successfully realized this starting from the spin ice at origin. Once we turn on this quantum fluctuation, then we go to this U1 spin liquid with creating this ring exchange term. So then what happens if we go further along that direction? So actually, it turns out the spin-ons condense. So this energy shows the spin-on excitation gap. And before this quantum critical point, it has the spin-ons is not condensed. But once we once we have large enough this J plus minus, which is spin fluctuation term, then the spin-ons actually condense. So once this quantum critical point, once we have this phase transition happens, then it actually turns out this by condensing the spin-ons, we have the phase transition from U1 spin liquid to XY magnet. So we can ask what type of XY magnet is realized by condensing the spin-ons. So it turns out this spin-on condensate induces the magnetic ordering on XY plane. And actually, the wave vector of this spin-on condensate happens at zero. So in that case, if we go back to this force of lattice, particle lattice, then with this zero wave vector spin-on condensate, we have this possible, magnetic ordering on XY plane. So we call it as force of lattice XY antiferromagnet. So we studied starting from spin ice along this direction. We realized this quantum spin liquid when quantum fluctuations are small enough. On the other hand, going more stronger quantum fluctuation, it induced the spin-on condensate on its dual lattice, and it turns out it goes into the XY antiferromagnet.
So is
this
spin wave gapless in XY?
Is spin wave gapless in XY phase, yes.
So
we have this spin on condensate. And spin wave is, we have spin wave because of this magnetic ordering.
So from the KD series side, we have only one kind of spin. One KD3 coupled with one
module. Right, but we have sublattice, two sublattice for diamond lattice. So in that sense, we really introduce two kinds of KD spin.
But does it break any global symmetry, continuous global symmetry in XY phase?
So in XY phase, the thing what you have to remind is the if we go back to our spin Hamiltonian, then it does not have any global symmetry. So we introduce JZZ term, and also J plus minus term, and also J plus minus plus minus term. So in that sense, the only symmetry we have for original spin Hamiltonian is just Ising-like, S2 minus S.
Then it's there, it seems that then there should be no gap.
On XY antiferromagnet. So the spin on gapless without considering any monopoles and stuff. So this phase transition can be explained by the spin on condensate, right? And spin wave, once we have this magnetic ordering, then spin wave will have some gapless mode.
So in the neutron scattering.
Mm-hmm. So the thing is, for ytterbium titanate, it's very strong candidate of the quantum spin liquid. So they do not show this XY antiferromagnet, but we mostly think this as in this region, quantum spin liquid. And the neutron scattering for the other materials.
In the ytterbium, at high field, you have spin wave.
Yes, for ytterbium titanate, you have spin wave. But that does not correspond to this XY antiferromagnet. So with applying a high magnetic field, what happens is I think the experiment done along 1-1 applying magnetic field along 1-1-1 direction, then you have some kind of ordering on the Kagome plane for ytterbium titanate. But what I consider here is the XY, the magnetic ordering on XY plane. By condensing the spin-ons. So it's different effect by applying the magnetic field. So if you want to study that, then we need another axis. So with applying magnetic field, what kind of phase the this appears in the presence of magnetic field. So it's different phase, I would say. So far we studied along this axis, starting from spin ice. We have quantum spin liquid, and due to the spin on condensate, we have XY interferomagnet. And the next question is, what happens along the other axis? So we can do the same procedure, starting from our Hamiltonian, spin Hamiltonian, we map onto this Yuan gauge theory. So on this time, in the presence of S plus term, then this mapping again, SC, SC nearest neighbor interaction maps to this gauge charge square term. On the other hand, this S plus term shows the quartic spin on Hopping term. So starting from the spin ons here, it hops to the neighboring site with interacting the gauge field. So this is distinct from the S plus minus term in a sense that we have quartic instead of quadratic spin on Hopping. So since we have quartic spin on Hopping, depending on within mean field theory, depending on the decoupling of these spin-ons for this quartic Hopping term, we expect the different ground state. So again, this chart shows, depending on the different coupling, what happens, what kind of different ground state expected. So if we, again, if we just condense the single spin-ons, then it goes into the XY magnet, and we have ordering on XY plane. On the other hand, if we condense this pairing term, then we have this, we realize this D2 ground state with no magnetic ordering, but we have magnetic ordering in higher order, and this charge 2 condensates gauge charge to condensate. But if we consider this A sublattice and B sublattice, the spin-on pair, the phi dagger phi, this condensed, this only condensed, then since regardless of this sublattice A and B, it carries the same gauge charge. So with condensing this phi dagger phi, it's not destructing this U1 structure. So still U1 structure is survived. On the other hand, by condensing this A and B coupling phi dagger phi term, we have this ordering on XY plane. And since we still have U1 structure, we should be able to see this gapless photon. But once we condense this both pairing term and A and B sublattice coupling term, this non-zero, then it breaks now because we condense the pairing, it breaks this U1 structure and we call it as Z2XY star ground state. So in that case, we have ordering on XY plane and also with gauge charge two condensates. But our question is which one is energetically favored among these many possible ground states? And it turns out with J plus minus term, it turns out this XY magnet is always energetically favored. So it goes on to directly from U1 quantum spin liquid to the ordering on XY plane. So again, along this axis, starting from spin eyes, we have this U1 spin liquid phase. And once we go beyond this critical point, the single spin-ons condense. And this single spin-on condensates related to this magnetic ordering on XY plane. And magnetic ordering on XY plane, again, what kind type of magnetic ordering is preferred along with this spin-on condensate? So again, spin-on condensate induce this magnetic ordering on XY plane. And if we consider this spin-on condensate wave vector, now it has non-zero wave vector. So we have different XY magnetic ordering, as you see here. So this is fourth sublattice XY ferromagnet. We call, in a sense, that the net moment is non-zero now. So this is what happening with along the plus minus direction. So starting from the spin eyes, now I'm going to show the whole phase diagram. So starting from the spin eyes ground state, if we turn on J plus minus term, or J plus minus term, then with small enough these quantum fluctuations, this U1 quantum spin liquid is realized. On the other hand, along this axis, by condensing the spin-ons at zero wave vector, we realize this XY antiferromagnet, as you see in this picture. And along this direction, we found another different type of XY ordering, but we have total net magnetic, that moment is non-zero. So this is the phase diagram at zero temperature, and this is along this positive J plus minus axis, which we call it as ferromagnet. And what happens, we can ask what happens for antiferromagnetic J plus minus term. So this is the phase diagram as you just seen in previous slides. And it turns out for this antiferromagnetic J plus minus case, this U1 quantum spin liquid is much more stable. So the reason for that is the following. So if you remember this cosine curl of A term, once we project our the Hamiltonian to the spin eyes ground state, then we, at third order of the general perturbation theory, we have this cosine curl of A term for every hexagon. So if we consider, since it is third order, depending on the sign of J plus minus, when it's ferromagnet, then we prefer to pi flux for every hexagon. On the other hand, if we change the sign from positive to negative, then with negative J plus minus, we prefer to pi flux for every hexagon. So in order, because of this pi flux, the spin-ons has this emergent line degeneracy. So in the background of pi flux, if you calculate the spectrum of spin-ons, then we have this emergent line degeneracy. And this actually prefer the prefer the spinons hard to condense. So in that sense, if the U1 quantum spin liquid along this direction is more stabilized. So this is my future work. And so far we studied along this direction and ferromagnetic J plus minus term. We found this starting from quantum spin liquid, we found this different XY magnetic ordering. On the other hand, because along this direction, with in the presence of pi flux, we would expect, because of this more stable U1 quantum spin liquid, we might expect this other exotic phases realized along this plane. So this is our future work for continuing, which I'm working on that. And I think that's it. So beyond other project, I've been mostly working on frustrated magnet, focusing on spin liquids. And on the other project, I'm also interested in this small transition in nickelates. So thank you.
Just curious, because you have studied this with J++ in action only, and you discovered that U1 spin liquid phase is also stable within the range.
Yes.
So in Kermit's paper, they start with a perturbation theory with small J++, and you have this nine frames change turns into magnetic field operator. So I'm just curious, do you have a similar picture? J++.
So that's a good question. So if we consider this J++++ axis, the Michael Homley did is in the presence of J++, as I show the animation, it creates a third order, it creates ring exchange term. And it happens for J++++ term, but not a third order, but a sixth order, it has the same procedure.
J plus minus
plus minus term, yes. So S plus interaction, right? So in that sense, the quantum spin liquid is again realized with small enough S plus interaction.
Okay. Maybe I missed this, but you said if you add a large magnetic field, you see these spin waves. So can you see that in your theory? I mean, can you add a magnetic field?
Yes, that's another, I think, future work. So we need. So in order to consider the magnetic field, first of all, we have to complete what happens for antiferromagnetic J++. And the next step is we are going to study in the presence of magnetic field what kind of the phase realized. Yes. And also the finite temperatures. Because this phase diagram is zero temperature.
So how would you move through the phase diagram experimentally? Are there experiments that are consistent with different parts of that region?
Right. So surprisingly, for many existing the rare earth materials, there's not the, if you consider this quantum, the phase diagram, then we have what ratio of J++ over JZZ or J++ over JZZ, then in what fraction of these we have different phases, right? But for real materials, there's no such estimate except the ytterbium titanate. So we have to work on, comparing the experiment and what type of this parameter gives for each rare earth particle materials. So there's only the ytterbium titanate case. There's well estimated this ratio.